0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of the Scottish Cup final. Celtic are looking to add that famous old trophy to their Premiership title, whilst Rangers are chasing a cup double. Elsewhere, Ross County are in the driving seat after the first leg of the Premiership playoff final, and Motherwell confirm Liam Kelly is leaving the club this summer, but Paul McGinn has signed a new contract. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have two men for the big occasion, Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
I do not subscribe to the theory that form goes out the window because it's Old Firm Day. Celtic are the favourites to win the cup tomorrow, but I do subscribe to the theory that on Old Firm Day anything could happen. Therefore, I do not rule out an understrength Rangers against a Celtic team that's recently turned into a force of nature. But in conclusion, I don't care how many people on the line say it. Nobody knows for a fact who will win tomorrow. No, you don't.
An irony from a man who thinks he can predict the outcome of absolutely everything. I'm sure that'll be pointed out between now and 8 o'clock. But Kenny, if you can't get excited on Scottish Cup final eve, then Scottish football is not for you.
Absolutely not. Particularly when it's these two teams that have came to the feature game at the end of the season, the showpiece game, and it's an Old Firm Cup final. First time in 22 years. You know, both sets of fans will be absolutely buzzing for tomorrow and for kickoff. I was going to say for kickoff, for probably pubs opening. you say always drink responsibly, but it's going to be a real top occasion. You know, like you say, Celtic favourites, there's no doubt about that, but there's more than one way to skin a cat, and it's the question is, can this Rangers team for the first time this season beat Celtic?
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. That seems like a really gentle place to start. How are you feeling? How do you feel on the eve of this game? I've seen a lot, particularly from you Rangers fans on social media today, suggesting that some of you can't be bothered or are not that excited, but surely the closer kickoff comes, you're going to be getting up for it. Let us know how you're feeling, Celtic fans. I'd imagine it's mostly confidence. Is there anyone in there that's just got that little niggling bit of trepidation because football can be unpredictable? Or is it full-scale confidence from your camp? Do let us know on 0141 951 1025. We love a good debate about team selection. Rangers fans, I suspect that's more interesting as far as you're concerned, because it is a team that's got a lot of injuries. It's a team that's not been in great form. So who plays? Who needs to play for your team tomorrow? Give us your suggestions. Celtic fans, I can manufacture something. Would you go Adam Ida instead of Kyogo? Is that the only one, maybe, based on the last couple of weeks? Or is it always Kyogo for these big occasions? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. And as always, anything else, it is the same number. Ross County and Raith Rovers last night, Motherwell announcing who's staying and who's going. Inverness have caused a bit of a stooshy this time last year. They were the ones preparing for a cup final, but today they've announced they're going to base the club's training centre in Fife, of all places.
Is it my caravan?
My geography's not great, but that's not that close to Inverness last time I checked. But anyway, 0141 951 1025. This is your 94th cup final, Hugh.
Yeah.
Do you still get as excited about them?
I think it's great tomorrow because we'll have the supporters half and half inside the ground. That has become a contentious issue for some years now. Let everyone go and enjoy and don't get out of hand. I repeat, I do not think that form goes out the window. I think Celtic are favourites. I do subscribe to the theory that on this Old Firm Day, anything could happen. Therefore, I do not dismiss Rangers.
Is that not the same thing?
Celtic make the same mistakes all the time in defence, and Rangers make the same mistakes all the time. I do think there'll be goals in it tomorrow.
He's killing us. He's killing the game.
No. You can't blame me. I'm trying to be positive, shut up. I do think there'll be goals. I do think it'll be a final worthy of the name, and I do make Celtic favourites, but as I say, I will not dismiss Rangers, because defensively, I go back to the last time they played, I still see Dujon Sterling heading the ball unopposed. I see Dessers heading into the net unopposed. At no time in that movement did I see Joe Hart with his hands above his head. Celtic make the same defensive mistakes. Therefore, middle to front, they have to score goals enough to compensate for the mistakes that are waiting to happen at the back.
Is that you being positive? Is that as positive as it gets to start the show?
I'm simply analysing the team.
Let's bring in Andy, who's first up tonight. Andy, what are you thinking? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling remarkably confident, to be quite honest with you.
What team do you support, Andy? What team do you support?
I'm a Celtic man.
I'm just kidding, Andy. I don't think we'll get many Rangers fans who are supremely confident, but you never know. Where does the confidence come from then, just the way it's finished the season?
I think the way that the last maybe 5-6 weeks have went, I've also analysed every Old Firm game, and I'll be quite honest, I think Hugh's wrong. I think Celtic can be beat. I don't think Rangers can beat them. And I think if I'm a betting man at all, I start with four and up, really.
Andy, Celtic
will send a message tomorrow.
Andy, Celtic can't be beaten. That's your statement tonight.
Well, I was on probably at the start of the season, Hugh, and I told you it was impossible for Rangers to beat Celtic, and it's been proved. It's been proved. They can't beat them. They don't know how.
Ooh, big statement. Big statement. Will we be on after five tomorrow if that's not the case?
Well, phone me if it is as well, though.
That phone will be ringing out if that's the case.
I get the confidence to a point, obviously. Yeah. As you said, you all think Celtic are favourites. If you asked me, although nobody cares what I think I'd say Celtic are favourites. Everybody does. Would you go as far as to say that it's impossible that they lose? Well, no, that's fine. Andy's seen a lot of the last couple of weeks, and you get the confidence up to a point.
I do, I absolutely get the confidence. It's not just the fact that Rangers have not managed to beat Celtic this year. It's the manner in which Celtic have dominated a large part of every one of the games. So it's where I would kind of a little bit throw something back to Andy is that two games at Celtic Park, 2-0 up, down to 10 men, Rangers hung in there and actually made a game of it and actually rocked Celtic towards the end of the game. So in terms, by the way, I also do believe, Andy, that Rangers have maybe dodged a bullet in these games where the defeats could have been a bigger scoreline than what they were actually in terms of the one goal win for Celtic and each one of the three wins over the course of the season. But Rangers have got an opportunity. It's a cup final where, like you say, anything can happen. I mean, I've played in cup finals and some of them have been real ugly affairs, you know, and it's been really, really tight, nip and tuck games. Rangers need to make it that game tomorrow. You know, that for me, that's how they win. Yes, they're going to have to take their moments. Yes, they've still got good players that can produce moments of quality. But I think the Celtic players, there's more of them in the Celtic lineup that are going to be potential match winners.
Is there any doubt, Andy, you know, is Kyogo always the man for the big occasion? Or did Adam Eder make a bit of a statement in that game against Kilmarnock?
I think Kyogo has to start. What I would like to say to Kenny as well, maybe I wouldn't mind his take on this. I think one of the reasons I'm so confident, and I think one of the reasons Celtic have been so dominant in Old Firm games, particularly in the latter stages of this season, is that you've got so many players for Rangers going out the door, whether they're on loan or whether or not they're coming to the end of their contracts. Now, I'm only speaking from my point of view is if I'm putting my last shift in and I'm going on to somewhere where there's a few quid, I might not always put my foot in there.
Does that come into it, Kenny?
I think it's a fair point.
Really?
I'm not saying that any of the Rangers players won't be absolutely 100% committed going into that game tomorrow, but Andy makes a good point in the relationship. Like, I mean, Tav's been linked with moves. You're looking at Leon Balogun's out of contract. You're looking at John Lundstrom could potentially be out of contract. There's loan players going to be in terms of Silva. There's maybe four, maybe five players in that Rangers team that might not be at the club next year. Does that make a difference in the performance tomorrow? I would like to say no, but you just never know how each individual's kind of wired up. You know, they might be having one eye on what's going on next season. I'm really intrigued to see what the team selection of Philippe Clement, because I think Celtic pretty much picks itself. Rangers, there's no too many kind of areas that you would say, right, that he could play or he could play. I think there's maybe, does Lundstrom come back in? That's probably the big question for me. So after the last game, obviously there was a lot of criticism thrown at John Lundstrom for the sending off. Is this a chance for him to get a reprieve and put in a big performance where he has been an important player for Philippe Clement over his reign?
Andy, does your thinking apply to Matt O'Reilly?
My thinking, doesn't he apply to Matt O'Reilly, Hugh, for the reason being that he's no on loan and he's certainly no at the end of his contract. Whether or not he moves on or doesn't will be Matt O'Reilly's choice and partly it'll be Celtic's choice. So it's a different, you can't compare apples for oranges. The fact
so is, who were you thinking of in the Rangers team? Because Lundstrom's out of contract, but well, Goldson and Tavernier isn't.
I look at Seymour, I look at Silva, yeah. I look at Lundstrom. I don't think Lundstrom makes that tackle if he's not leaving, if I'm being completely honest. It was mental. And I think Tavernier, these guys are all going.
Kenny wants to discuss if it was a red or not from 2 weeks ago, if anyone wants to get involved. And I'm joking, let's not go round in circles. Well, you can if you want, on the usual number. Thank you to Andy. On the line, I thought we were about to speak to Kevin. He's just disappeared. We'll try and get him back. Kenny was floating the question of should John Lundstrom come back in. What do you think, Rangers fans? Give us a call and let us know on 01419511025. I do think we have got Kevin back. Kevin, I'm slightly more interested in how the Rangers fans feel, and I just say that because I know how the Celtic fans will feel. They feel great, they feel confident. Are you up for this tomorrow as a Rangers fan?
Oh, I'm obviously up for it. It's a little film game, isn't it?
It is.
Absolutely. See,
so you don't fear the worst or anything? You've seen enough positives in there to think this can be an underdog victory?
No, aye. Honestly, see if we can hold them for 20 minutes. And we've seen that the last game. We held them for 20 minutes. But see if we can keep 11 players on the park. I think we'll beat them.
Well, it would certainly help, like you would have to imagine. And I think Kevin hits on a decent point about the start, because there becomes a point, right, every game you analyse ever, you go, oh, you need to get off to a good start. But really, Philippe Clement's admitted that there is a kind of psychological thing there, and he said that they worked on it the last time and it didn't work. Aye. And so they need to try something different this time. Surely Rangers cannot afford to fall behind early again.
That's the one thing. I mean, when you look at the three games that Philippe Clement's had against Celtic, he's been 2-0 down in each game. You know, it's an absolute mountain to climb. He's bemoaned bad starts in each one of the games. And by the way, a bad start doesn't necessarily mean you've conceded. It means
it just sets the tone, doesn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. Celtic get into the rhythm and they get control of the game. That's going to be, again, that's one of the things I'm really interested to see tomorrow. What is going to be different in terms of the start? How are Rangers going to start? Can Rangers score first? And the questions that they have asked Celtic later,
because they've not led,
game,
have they,
not
this
at
season?
All, no.
What you can't afford to do and what you're stuck with are two different things. And if Rangers are stuck with a poor start again tomorrow, then you begin to look at Philippe Clement and say, we've not worked this out yet. You know, I think it's a big one for him.
I think it's true what you say though, Kenny, about what that looks like, because the two games ago we got as bad starts go, that's something none of us imagined, whatever it was, 20 seconds. Celtic didn't take the lead till the 35th yep. minute in the last one. So I'm not sure when Kevin says, you know, we held them for 20 minutes last time. Well, it didn't work. Yep. But what we did see within that is Celtic were in their rhythm, weren't they? Celtic looked like they were going to score first. They were the team on top. In fact, they did not have the chance.
And the
John
chance
Suter sliced one
in the first minute.
In the first minute.
First
so
minute.
Talking more about the tone being set as well.
Yeah. Well, I counted, I think Callum McGregor and Matt O'Reilly each had three shots on the Rangers goal before Matt O'Reilly's was his third shot and he scored. But Callum McGregor had also strode forward through the pitch, through the Rangers midfield, and got shots away from about 20, 22 yards. So you can't keep giving those good players, quality players, that kind of look at your goal, because like you say, look at Matt O'Reilly, what a season he's had. As if he scores a goal in the game tomorrow, I think it's 20 goals he's going to be on for the season, which is an incredible return. Rangers need to they need to tighten up defensively. It's as simple as that. They need to shut down the spaces that Celtic operate. And like it's really, really clear how Celtic play, because whether they're playing Rangers or whether they're playing Dundee, their movements are very same, their patterns are same. Listen, it's slick and it is not easy to stop. But you can stop it by being a lot more compact defensively, and the spaces between your midfield and your midfield again across the pitch, your midfield going back closer to the defenders, but definitely the defenders across that back line have to cover each other better. They can't defend as individuals. They have to be defending as a unit. And that's one thing for me, watching the Rangers games back and watching Noel Farm, that the spaces that Celtic exploit is, by the way, they are completely avoidable.
Is that where psychology is important, Hugh? I sometimes feel like it's just an easy thing to leap to, because none of us really know exactly what's going on in the players' heads. But if you do look at those head-to-heads, we know that Celtic are favourites. Is the onus on Rangers more to handle the start of the game, basically?
Yeah, because if Celtic go in front early on, every Rangers fan inside the ground will fear the worst. They'll fear that this might be the day where they catch one from Celtic. One of the Giovanni Van Bronckhorst proportion wins. So if they score first, then all of a sudden it's Celtic on the back foot, and Celtic don't handle Rangers' goals terribly well. You know, 2-0 ahead at Ibrox, and then when the penalty came, it was all hands to the pump. At Celtic Park, they're 2-0, and you're thinking this could be a hefty one. And then the goal for Dessers before half-time alters the complexion. Matt O'Reilly misses a penalty. That alters the complexion further. So it's the oldest cliche in the game, but the first goal tomorrow is very important.
Well, Kevin is a Rangers fan. He's confident. The previous Celtic fan said it was impossible for Celtic to lose. Now it feels like the eve of an Old Firm game. The bravado is flowing. How do you feel? Team selection, all the usual stuff. Pick up that phone and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here on 0141 951 1025 as we build up to the Scottish Cup final. Very generally, how are you feeling? What's the mood like on the eve of the big game? And more specifically, who do you think should play? What should the lineups look like? How do you see the game panning out? All the usual pre-match questions. This, as always, is the place to share your thoughts. I was thinking back to one of the earlier callers suggesting that maybe Rangers players, if they're not going to be there next season, what does the focus look like? What does the determination look like? James Tavernier is committed to the Rangers cause despite that rumoured interest from Saudi Arabia.
You come into an end of a season, it's not really, you look at it as a cycle. All the boys know, like I said before, that football, there's always moving parts and people come and go, so it's just a part and parcel of football. Yeah, like I said, I've got two years left, and I'm fully focused on my job in hand. You know, I'm always fully committed. I give my everything every single day, and that's what I'll continue doing.
Andy is a Rangers fan on the line. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, good, thanks. How's yours? How's good. The panel?
All good. What are you thinking then? What's going through your mind ahead of tomorrow?
Well, with some of them actually leaving, I wouldn't put Lundstrom back in. And I would probably drop Tavernier just for the shot back value. Maybe put Sterling in his place. And if Ryan Jack is fit, he could be a surprise to replace, put in Lundrum's place, taking another five. Mm-hmm. Callum McGregor.
Shock value, what does that mean?
Who are you trying to shock?
Well,
shocking me, I'll tell you that.
Well, exactly. I mean, who would think that Tav would get dropped? But if the rumours are true, I know they're only rumours, but if they are true, and he does end up going, then, as somebody said earlier on, they might not give 100% because that could affect a move, especially to Dubai or Turkey or anywhere else. You know, that could put a spanner in the works for that. So I just wouldn't play them.
Please don't be offended when I say that you're talking nonsense.
Sounds quite offensive.
But he's only the captain, he's only the top goal scorer, he's only the highest number of assists, he's only the best player that Rangers have. Shock value. Celtic would be overcome by laughter if they heard that Tavernier was out.
As always, I think what we tend to do, Kenny, is we take something that has a bit of truth in it and then we go crazy on it. Right now, is he Rangers' best player, as Hugh says? I don't know, but the rest is factual in terms of captain, scorer, assists. I think you're allowed to say that he's really been struggling recently and he struggles in the Celtic games. You can say all that without then drop him, because Rangers fans have been phoning in over the last few nights. I've got Dujon Sterling in about 9 different positions.
Yep.
He needs to fill in for James Tavernier, who's been dropped. He might need to play if Yilmaz doesn't make it. Stick him out in the right wing to help track back Daizen Maeda. Put him in the midfield for a bit of bite. If there's one place that Rangers probably don't need to put him tomorrow, it is right back. Yep. Because you can think James Tavernier is a slight problem. He's also the least of Rangers' problems, though, is he not?
Yeah, alongside Jack Butland, yeah. He's the least. He's the
I don't think I'd put Sterling in goal. I think I'd draw the line there.
Well, you never know. You might see that next year. But no, definitely. I mean, you can't drop Tav. It's just impossible. You know, Hughes said about the goals and the assists and he's the captain. He is one of. He's a top three performer. There's no getting away for that. So it is one of the areas of least concern for me. You know, and by the way, whether Dyson Maeda gives him a tough time or not, that's Dyson Maeda's job, by the way, as a Celtic player, to go and kind of put James on the back foot and ask him like, to track him back and make it harder for him to be influential. Mm. Because there's one thing that is a fact also, for this potential Rangers team tomorrow, or in this Rangers squad, James Taverney has been the most influential player in this fixture for Rangers. There's no getting away for that in terms of his goals, in terms of his assists. So
even if that is a low bar, it's still him that sits at the top.
But I still think it's quite a high bar for James in terms of how he's influenced.
I think probably because in the recent fixtures, there's not a few good factors.
In terms of the results, yeah, in terms of the results. But he's been the guy that's dragged them back in with another worldy free kick at Celtic Park when they were down to 10 men. He's the one that steps up and puts the penalty in to start the revival at Ibrox. And he has been in previous seasons as well. So, no, for me, again, it was definitely did shock me to hear that that would be the area that you would be looking to change, because there's so many other areas in that Rangers team that would be of concern to me before the right back.
It's on a par with leaving McGregor out for Celtic.
Andy, talk more about John Lundstrom, though, because I think there's a real good debate in that one. I can't make Kenny and Hugh agree with you on James Tavernier.
Yeah, I think Ryan Jack would be more suited for that role. I think he's got a point to prove as well if he wants to get the Scotland squad for the Euros. So, I mean, a big performance nullifying Callum McGregor could get him into a shout for the Scotland squad. Going back to Tav, I think for me, it was a shock value. They've dropped him.
Dropping Jack Butland would be a shock, but you wouldn't do it, would you?
No, I know, but you look at what Tav done. He said, oh, I've got it, the Maeda one, you know, I've got him, and he ran by it. He ran by him all game. Yeah. He ran by him all games.
Is there anything to suggest he wouldn't run by whoever you replace him with, though?
Well, I think he would have a tougher time against Dijon Sterling. He's younger, he's fitter, he's faster. As I say, it's not going to happen. I wouldn't expect it to happen either, but I thought for a shock value. And it would probably shock me even though I've said it, but I still think
Andy's just all about the shocks.
I love it, I like his style. It's not
I
shock value. Celtic would be absolutely delighted if James Tavernier wasn't playing.
Teams will obviously focus on themselves, as they would tell you. Kenny, John Lundstrom is a good one, because there are like a number of factors there. There is the way that he played it in the last game, as in the performance level, then the decision making and the damage that the red card did, whether you agree with the decision or not, we move on. And then there's the fact that he is presumably gone, and this would be his last game at the club. What do you think? Would you bring him back in?
There's two areas, and that's one area for me, that Philippe Clement's got a decision. Does he stick with Raskin? Does he put John Lundstrom back in? I think personally, I would put John Lundstrom back in. Do I think Philippe Clement will? I'm not so sure. I just think, see, if I'm looking at a Rangers midfield, potentially Diamandé, Raskin and Cantwell, maybe it looks a little bit lightweight for me. And I think John Lundstrom's physicality as well, maybe, again, probably overstepped the mark in the last game, but I think he covers the distance really, really well. Obviously, he's 6'2". He's got that athleticism and that physicality. I think that is potentially one of the reasons. And by the way, he's played in all these games before. I know Rangers have not had any good results in these games over the course of the season, so maybe change is wise to maybe make a change in there. But it's a good debate. You know, for me, I still think, again, there's also a flip side of maybe wanting to leave and go out on a high, you know, lifting
something
another trophy.
To prove.
You know?
My concern with Lundstrom would be that, yes, it's his last game, go out on a high, etc., etc., but does he want to overcompensate for what happened the last time and runs the risk of getting sent off again?
Is it not more likely the other way? He must know just how catastrophic that judgment error was. If anything, I think it might be the other way, no?
But he knows how catastrophic it was, but it doesn't rule out the possibility in the heat of the moment that it happens again.
I just think, like, law of averages. You get the same guy getting two straight reds in the same match in a couple of weeks apart, I think I'd be surprised.
You know, he's an experienced player. You would expect him to kind of realise, right, okay, he needs to play with a little bit, maybe more discipline, a little bit more with the head rather than kind of with the heart. But he, if he does play, or whoever does play in there, it's crucial that they perform really, really well.
It feels like, so callers earlier this week, one guy summed it up. He said something like, John Lundstrom broke our hearts in the last game. You know, he's done. We can't play him anymore. And Philippe Clement answered a question at the press conference around that topic saying, you know, well, I can't let fans dictate who I pick. It just seems like there would be quite a negative reaction from fans if his name appeared on the team sheet.
But he can't be bothered with that.
No, I know, but we are here on sort of behalf of the fans, though.
The word he used was emotion. He said, I can't work on the emotion. That's for fans. I see what I see in training every day.
What did you make of Andy's Ryan Jack shout?
See, if Ryan Jack had any kind of football up until now,
didn't even come on at Tynecastle, did he?
Would love to see Ryan Jack in the team, because I think what he does offer, he will go and take that ball all day long, and he'll keep it simple, he'll keep it ticking over. Again, he's played in the fixture a number of times, and he's played in a time where Rangers were actually able to get the better of Celtic, you know. So
What about this notion then, though, that Rangers now need to try something different, though? Because if it is Lundstrom, Diomande and Cantwell, you know, we've kind of seen this before.
Yeah.
Is there a wild card in there anywhere?
Ryan Jack could be that wild card. The reason I would probably put Lundstrom back in, or I even think that could come into the consideration, is John Lundstrom's played ahead of Nico Raskin all season. Nico Raskin's been available, you know, and he's only came into the team really after a positive end to the Celtic game, by the way, at Celtic Park, where he came on and it's 10 men, you've nothing to lose. You're
played the last two, didn't
he? And then, in John Lundstrom's absence through suspension. So that's why he's played. He's not dislodged John Lundstrom by performances, by training well, because that's been going on now for 6 months that John Lundstrom's been selected ahead of him. So I'll tell you, it'd be a big, big call if Philippe Clement did go with Raskin and leave Lundstrom out.
Let's bring in another Andy. This one is in the Celtic corner, though. What are you thinking, Andy? Confident, I would assume.
How are you doing? All right. Hiya. My observation is really just about man management in the last maybe 4 or 5 months by Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement. But just based on when Shuey opened the programme by saying that Celtic are favourites, I mean, Celtic are massive favourites with every single angle you look at. I mean, the last 9 games has been 1-1, which could be considered a dead rubber. Even this season, I mean, after the split, Rangers, 4 of the games were behind. Celtic won the 5 of them. Their very last Saturday, Celtic scored in the last minute to win the game. Rangers lose 2 goals extra time to lose 2 points. I think everything points towards Celtic, and probably anything can happen, but I think they're very, very strong favourites. But something that I'd like to just make an observation on, and it's, you mentioned there about Clement's response to, is he going to play Lundstrom or not? For me, if he was my manager, I'd like him to be saying, when he was asked the question, yes, John Lundstrom will play because he's a fantastic player for the club. And there was something else that happened previous in the season, I don't know when it was, but before half-time he took off Cantwell, right? And he's done it a few, throughout the course of the season, he's done it a few times. Whereas, flip the coin, 7 weeks ago, James Forrest is in the cold. Brendan Rodgers brings him in and declares, surprisingly, a lot of people, not me, that James Forrest is the best winger of the club. James Forrest goes out and performs magnificently in the last 5 weeks. He's got to sell a place in the European Championships. I think that's man management to the nth degree. And I think that Philippe Clement's got a lot to answer for in terms of Rangers' decline in the last couple of months.
It's fair. I think Brendan Rodgers somewhere in there admits it's not like this was his master plan all along to just not look at James Forrest and then bring him in. But combination of two, he must have done something to keep James Forrest happy all that time. A lot of that might come down to James Forrest, who seems like just a brilliant pro who just keeps his head down. I get where Andy's coming from. If you've got a guy just in cold storage and you're able to keep him on side enough that when he comes in and does that,
I think it helps that the player is helping you to keep onside, you know, that he's not staging any demonstrations, he doesn't become a problem in the dressing room. I could answer that point back by saying, well, why did it take so long to get Forrest into the team when, you know, most people were fed up looking at Yang or whoever was there? But there's no doubt that James Forrest has been an absolute credit to himself. I would also suggest that when James was brought back in, there was lots of talk about, oh, retrograde step, how long has he been there? His time has come and gone. James Forrest has overcome the objection of the Celtic fans as well as justifying the manager's decision to bring him in. But it's all part of the last few months of the season where undoubtedly Philippe Clement lost his way on the back of bad results, the accumulation of points lost, and at the same time, Brendan Rodgers brought in Forrest and they grew in momentum and strength.
Well, listen, that's by and again, like Andy's saying on the third Andy tonight, by the way, that's saying that how Celtic are massive favourites. Rangers' form in the last 10 league games of the season, the critical moment, the business end of the season, has been 4 wins, 3 draws, and 3 losses. It's been 15 points out of 30. You're not dropping 15 points at this stage of the season winning any league. Simple as that. And Celtic have been going the other way. And it all ties in again, looking at the potential teams. You look, Carter Vickers coming back to fitness, getting back in the team, top performer. Callum McGregor, likewise. Hatate, likewise. O'Reilly has been a top performer over the course of the season. Now, the reintroduction of James Forrest into this team. James Forrest was arguably, by the way, the best player on that pitch in the last Old Firm game in the first half an hour. For the first minute he got the ball, he put Bona Barisic on the back foot. He was the one that lashed the ball across the goal that took in the first minute of the game, that took Rangers to scramble it away off the line. It was outstanding. So, man management, I felt that was one of real Philippe Clement's real strengths, and I don't think you can say it wasn't to get the most, the absolute most out of that Rangers squad like he had done for his first kind of 4 or 5 months. Listen, it's fell down at the crucial point. Is that down to Philippe Clement's man management? Potentially not. Was that down to him potentially getting a group of players that were really underperforming and getting them overperforming? I would probably tend to go with that. Tomorrow, all that does go out the window. It's a cup final. It's 90 minutes, potentially more. Rangers need to find a way to win. That's it. That's all they need to do. Can they do it? That is the question. Can Celtic do it? Well, they've shown us over the course of the season how dominant they can be against this team.
Thanks, Andy. 01419511025. Whilst you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Not many tickets left for Clyde One Live this time next week. We're taking over the Ovo Hydro and we want you to be there. The full lineup features Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy and Texas. They're going to play some of their biggest hits for us on stage the 31st of May, 1 week today. You can get your tickets at clyde1.com.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here on 01419511025. That is the number that you need. I've had a tweet in saying, I swear I'm living in a simulation where everyone calling in tonight is called Andy and they're waiting to see how long it'll take me to notice because he's Andy who sent the tweet. But I'm delighted to say the next caller has a different name from all the other
Andrew.
Callers, but he's got the same name as you. It's Kenny in Prestwick. How are you, Kenny?
I'm fine, thank you, Gordon. How are you?
Good, good, good. What are you thinking then tomorrow?
How are Hugh and Kenny doing?
Good.
Are you all right?
Yeah, good, thank good. You.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm just the point I was wanting to make was that, you know, Rangers, things have changed a lot since obviously they lost to Motherwell and Ross County. And then there's Ross Dundee. It's clearly costly points, even though they had injuries, they still have, you know, a massive budget compared to most of these teams and should be able to beat them when the pressure's on a little bit. And I often reckon there was maybe not just the heart in it that there should have been. But the point is, they've now got an opportunity tomorrow to change things a bit. And I think that if everyone gives Tavernier a lot of stick at times, and that's unfair. That guy is incredible. His statistics are amazing. He does have his defensive frailties from time to time. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you're pushing forward and trying to, you know, create something up front, if you don't have the cover at the back for him, and that also makes it quite difficult because you're always looking over your shoulder. And I think the other thing as well is the Celtic's midfield has been restored in the last few weeks. And they've been out of action for most of the season. And obviously bringing back James Forrest is always going. He's from Prestwick, you know, and he's a very good, great player. But, you know, we need to do something to stretch the midfield of Celtic. We need to get them running around a lot more. I don't think man-for-man marking is the way forward on that one. I think if we can get one or two young guys out there that are going to stretch the midfield and you know, get these guys moving around and from time to time, you know, if a planned timing is available, to maybe now and again go through, try and go through the middle of the midfield a wee bit to sort of confuse them a bit. Because Tavernier, you get him, if Rangers can get into the areas anywhere near round the box and start pressurising Celtic, we know Celtic's defence isn't the greatest, and you know it can be quite ropey at times. Sometimes it's not so bad, but I think if you have, you know, pressuring the box, and you've got somebody like Tavernier there who is really, really dangerous from anywhere outside the box, if he gets a penalty, and if you're pressurising in those areas, and you're managing to get, it's not about nullifying Celtic's midfield, I don't think. I think it's more about, you know, being a bit more wily in how to play them. And we know Callum McGregor's a fantastic player, you know, and the last Rangers Celtic game recently, you know, they were trying to mark him out of the game, but that only works for so long. And if we can get young guys with the energy in there,
who are these young guys with the energy though?
Well, I think Ross McCausland in particular, I think he's one that needs to be in there that's given it a go, I would say. And I think that the thing is that there was in the Celtic game last week there, you know, there was definitely up against 60,000 fans at Celtic Park, knowing that a good chance of almost winning the league on the day. It's very tough for anyone to play against that. It was very unfortunate what happened to Lundstrom, you know. I would still play him because I think he's a really good player and would want to sort of turn that around tomorrow and make sure that the same thing doesn't happen.
It's a fair point, Kenny, you make about the fans to the other Kenny, the one in the studio. In an age when it is either 0% of your fans or 100%, the fact that it is that split tomorrow, does that change the football match, do you think? Does it make it easier to not get overawed by a bad start, or what difference does it make, do you think?
I think it really depends on how the fans actually react, because if...
I mean, it'll be raucous, the reality, though, won't it?
What I mean is, but if you're talking about a bad start, then that could lead to a negativity, you know. Like for the start, this game's going to be absolutely electric. You're going to have 25,000 each set of support are going at it, how it should be, you know, in these games. So I think the whole energy and the whole atmosphere within the stadium will be the best probably you've seen in an Old Firm game this season. That can also go against you if you don't start well, or if you concede a goal or the other team are on top of you, because the fans, particularly if it's the Rangers fans that are getting on to their own players, because they'll get really, really frustrated if Celtic are starting to dominate the game and they potentially score the first goal in the game again for the fifth time this season. That could lead to some negative energy coming for the stands on the Rangers' perspective. So it would be up to the players to really stand up to that, which isn't easy. You know, so particularly when you're playing against a team that you've, at this moment in time, seem to have your number. So, but listen, it's a game where, like Hugh says, anything can happen. There's no doubt Celtic are favourites, but it's a cup final where Rangers have got a chance to finish the season, which would be a really, really successful season for me, considering where they were back in September, October time before Philippe Clement came in. If Rangers can finish tomorrow with their hands on that trophy, it'll be a wonderful season for them.
For someone like me who was raised on big crowds, half and half, Celtic Park, Ibrox, Hampden. It's funny to hear people talk about the effect of the crowd.
No, that's what I mean. It's sad that that's a factor, but it just is. You know, for some of these players,
absolutely,
it will be the first time they've experienced them.
But harking back to the days when it was common, it was always then a test of your mentality, your mental strength, and that's the same for these Rangers and Celtic players tomorrow. It's not the away fans excluded experience. It's half and half, and you had better rise to the occasion or you'll be found out very quickly.
Thank you, Kenny. Let's bring in Scott and Canvas Lang. What's the Celtic perspective looking like from you, Scott?
Hello, guys. How are you doing again there, guys? Good to have you on. Tomorrow, I think it's a one-off game. I think Celtic will win, obviously, because I'm a Celtic fan, but I think it's going to be close, I think. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, to be honest with you, but again, you know, I just think that Rangers will come out tomorrow, you know, like all guns blaring. I think they'll try and choke the midfield, because that's where, obviously, our players are demanding the game and being better as him. So I think maybe a 2-1 or a 3-1, something like that, you know, tomorrow. But my point is, obviously, I think the Celtics fans should enjoy, obviously, Big Hart leaving. You know, that's him, his last game. I don't think O'Reilly will be there after tomorrow. I think that's his last game as well. I think he's gone. Also, another point, Big Fraser Foster, I think we should bring him back. 100%.
Well, you're asking him to leave the English Premier League and come back here. You know, it's entirely up to him, but I'm sure that Brendan Rodgers has in mind already the players that he wants to bring in. With regard to the emotion of it all, Joe Hart is a very experienced pro, 37 years old, had an illustrious career. He must want to go out on a high and not as a losing cup finalist.
If it goes to penalties, will he take one?
For sure. But Matt O'Reilly, incredible signing on very low money, will go for very big money. I think you're right, Scott, to anticipate that it may be his last game. He'll want to go out because he's loved playing for Celtic. He makes that clear. Now, he'll want to go out as a winner. So there are so many subplots tomorrow. It's incredible. Both sides. And it's how they all handle the emotion of it all. Both sides.
How key is Matt O'Reilly for Celtic, Kenny, looking at the way he's finished the season?
He'll be... And it's the midfield area. I think Scott's talking about it. That midfield alongside McGregor and Hittat is formidable. And he has been the best performer in that. You know, Callum McGregor's the heartbeat of the team, but O'Reilly's the one that's been there throughout, no real injuries. Yeah, he maybe had a 4 or 5 game dip run about the end of the January transfer window, but he is back to his sensational best over these last 6-8 games. In the last game again, when I'm saying James Forrest potentially was the best player, well, he ended up the best player on that pitch, the most influential player on that pitch as well. So he'll be key alongside all the other good players in the Celtic team, but he's been the one at this moment in time, he's rising to the pressures of trying to get a league title over the line, and now there's a cup final. Like I said, if he can get another goal in an Old Firm game tomorrow, that'll be his 20th goal of the season. It would be incredible if for a player, because this is not a number 10. He might find himself in number 10 positions, but he's a number 8. For him to get 20 goals, if he does, I mean, even 19 is sensational, but if he was to go and hit that magic number of 20, it would be an incredible season.
Well, I think we'll leave that there because it takes us up nicely. Thank you to Scott. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
What a way to kick off cup final weekend with a victory on Beat the Pundit. That is the incentive for you tonight. You take on Hugh Keevans or Kenny Miller, and we send you a sign ball if you win. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Every Friday night's good on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, because you're always looking ahead to big games at the weekend, and what we lack in quantity of games tomorrow, we certainly make up for in quality. It is the showpiece, it is the Scottish Cup final, it is one of the greatest cup competitions in world football. We're very proud of it, and we hope it is a final to remember tomorrow. So keep all your calls coming in, please. 0141 951 1025. But first of all, whilst you're getting in touch, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, it is Beat the Pundit time. We're coming to the end of a season on that as well, of course. Does invincibility weigh heavier the closer you get to the end of a season?
Nah.
Are you sure?
Yep.
No such problems for you, Hugh.
No, I'm afraid. I'm used to failure.
We were discussing this last night, though. I actually think you did. I think you started the season very well.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, you've tailed off a bit.
Yep.
But.
Well, at my age, you would, really, wouldn't you?
I suppose. I better not get myself in trouble with commenting on that too much. You do have the chance to go back into the top 6 before the league splits. And you have done the 10 this season.
Yes.
As well. So let's play with next contestant up. We've got Scott, who's on the line. How's it going, Scott?
Not bad, yourself?
Not bad, thank you. Now, most people are on for the first time, but I think you've played before. What's the backstory?
Oh, a bit free to ask Simon, don't we?
It's not great, although it sounds about right. A 3-2 is such a Simon Donnelly margin of victory. He is the master of the ugly win. So Scott's back on for more, which is fine. See, we had another, we just got, it really dawned on me this week that this is like a rite of passage for people. We had another stag do contestant.
Yeah,
that's about half a dozen this season. It feels like that it's becoming a thing. Go abroad, wear stupid clothes, do something you regret, play Beat the Pundit. Maybe the Beat the Pundit bits to something you regret.
They answered well though.
They were very good. They were very polite as well. But Scott is there in shorts. You're not in your stag doing shorts, are you? That would be a strange location.
Oh no, no, just in the spot.
With no disrespect to the people of shorts, let's toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be Hugh. Tails, it will be Kenny Miller. And it's the man who's going for an invincible season. Tails, Kenny against Scott. So we give Kenny something else to listen to, specifically Greatest Hits Radio. And you've got 30 seconds, Scott. You answer as many as you can, just like the last time. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No worries.
Right, your time starts now. What was the score in the Premiership playoff final last night?
1-0.
Who scored the winner in the last Old Firm Scottish Cup final?
Peter McGrath.
How many goals has Kyogo scored in the Scottish Cup this season?
Aye.
Who's the oldest member of Scotland's provisional Euros squad?
Pass.
Which club moved their training ground to Fife for next season?
St Martin.
Who does Ross McCrory play for?
Middlesbrough.
Okay, let's bring Kenny Miller back. Kenny, can you hear us?
Yep.
Simon Donnelly's on already. Former opponent of Scott. He says poor shug. I can't even remember which bit he would be referring to. Just feel sorry for you generally.
Oh well.
You ready?
Thanks,
30 yep. seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. What was the score in the Premiership playoff final last night?
2-1.
Who scored the winner in the last Old Firm Scottish Cup final?
Peter Lovenkrantz.
How many goals has Kyogo scored in the Scottish Cup this season?
4.
Who's the oldest member of Scotland's provisional Euro squad?
Craig Gordon.
Which club has moved their training ground to Fife for next
Inverness.
Season? Who does Ross McCrory play for?
Bristol City.
Name either side in the Scottish Women's Cup final.
Celtic.
Which team is the only Premiership club whose name begins and ends with the same letter?
Premiership club, you say?
Quick. 2-1. Time up.
Celtic.
I was going to say, kick yourself on that one. Scott, what do you think?
I'm destroyed.
Scott, it's really bad if you come on and do worse than the first time. Let's bear that in mind just in case. You couldn't get the scoreline right. You've even got the team wrong. Wraith did not win last night. It was Ross County who won 2-1, so it goes 1-0 to Kenny. I thought you might remember this, although it was a while ago. Peter Lovenkrantz, the winner. So it's 2-1 to Kenny. How incredible that that is the last.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No Rangers had various issues over that period and didn't reach as many cup finals, but still.
I know.
I mean,
mind you, Kenny surprised me. Kenny turned at the Stato before we came in here. Only 6.
No, sorry, it was the last 6. Sorry, I was thought it was 3-3, but I think there's been 14.
14?
Yeah.
Even that, 14 in 150 years.
2002. So even in your 15 spells with both of those clubs, never.
No, semi final.
So where were you in 2002 again?
I'd just left.
So you had left. Yeah. Right. That's incredible, isn't it? Anyway, we've got one tomorrow, so let's not dwell on it. 2-1 to Kenny. None of you knew. It's a tough question, this. Kyogo scored 3. So every round apart from the semi-final. The oldest member of the Scotland squad is Craig Gordon. So it's 3-1 to Kenny. It then goes 4-1 to Kenny because Inverness have moved their training ground to Fife for next season. It's been met with a major backlash, that, by the way.
No surprise.
So if any Inverness fans want to air their grievances, we'll take them from you. Ross McCrory plays for Bristol City, Kenny. Scott, sorry. It's not looking good, is it?
I guess.
Said Middlesbrough. No. It's getting worse. Kenny did have some weaknesses, though, because it's a Rangers Hearts Women's Cup final.
Yeah.
Rangers beat Celtic in the semi, and as you know, but you're out of time, I would say Celtic begins and ends with the same letter. But nevertheless, a 5-1 win for Kenny Miller. Hardline, Scott.
I'll take a 5-1 more of Rangers. I'll do it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how it works, but never mind.
That was
the
first Old Firm game.
Was that your first, that 5-1?
Yep.
So on the back of the 6-2?
Yep.
So had you signed by the 6-2?
Yes, I was injured. Injured on the Friday.
Ah, likely story.
Yeah, rolled
just,
my ankle.
Just limped out. Yep. Thought, I don't fancy that. So that was your first one, was the 5-1?
Yep.
Come off the bench, start?
No, I started, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was an Eccles round Fergie's neck when we were
sorry. Getting in all the pictures, just making sure. Yeah. I'm here this time. I'm not injured like that. Right, we'll see what tomorrow brings. I can't promise Kenny's 5-1 reverse of what happened on Beat the Pundit. But we will see. What did you make of that Scotland squad, by the way? Since we honestly, Bondi's on. I honestly, right, see you over the summer. I'm going to just lie in a darkened room and never think about Beat the Pundit questions again, because every single night Bondi quite rightly obviously points out that Kilmarnock starts and ends with a K as well. Why do you people keep doing this to me on the questions? Yeah. Not that it matters, because none of them got it right. Yep. But seriously, why came right? One night, let's try and get them all right just once. Yep. One time. Is it too much to ask?
Well, at least it wasn't a material difference to the outcome.
Not so honest. John is on again from last night. He says that I keep flashing the. He pulled me up last night and said it again tonight that I flashed the answers to you two. And maybe they might be able to see the back of the sheet. There is no chance you saw the answers to those questions. Come on, this desk's massive. It just looks like it's small on the live stream. Don't you worry. I don't think we can say Scott was robbed of his victory. I think Scott knows himself. That was all by himself. Anyway, 01419511025 is the number that you need. Let's hear from Callum McGregor. We already heard a bit from James Tavernier, didn't we? The captains, of course, speaking as you would expect in the build-up to a big cup final. The Celtic captain says the fear of losing is what drives him as a player, and lifting multiple trophies every season is just what's required at Celtic.
When you lose one, then it hurts, and that stays with you, and throughout my career I've tried to limit the amount of times that I've felt like that. So come Saturday, I'm going to try and limit the amount of times I feel like that again. The nature of being at Celtic is the next trophy that's on offer, you're under pressure to deliver, and that's the way that I try and work as well. It's the way I try and get the players to understand when they play for this football club, it demands success. So Saturday's another opportunity for us to go and try and make a lot of people happy.
It's so obvious, the kind of suggestion that being a serial winner would help in this scenario. Him and James Forrest between them, you're losing count of the number of trophies. Given your experiences, so the more you went back to, I mean, different for you and guys like Callum McGregor, who had loads of Scotland caps, he's a bit behind you but still got a fair few. Just the more they go there, or the more you play in these occasions, does it help?
Well, you feel comfortable, yeah. I think. And I think when you're, the way that clearly Callum McGregor is wired is that he's hungry for more. You know, the fact, I don't know, what he must be approaching 20 trophies as well, or not far off it. You know, James Forrest could go to 22 tomorrow. I mean, he's hungry for more. You need to be that way inclined if you're going to play for Celtic or Rangers. You know, so you'll be going there tomorrow. And I'm glad he's actually said about what lifting multiple trophies a season is expected, because that's been a question that's been kind of thrown at me this week, is like, would that be enough for Celtic just to win the league? Would it be enough for Rangers just to have won the League Cup? Well, my answer is actually no, it's not. I think if you had asked any Celtic fan back in September, October, you would only
They're
end
looking
up
for
the
more
league.
Than one.
They need more. You know, they demand more. So
I mean, the league's the priority, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely.
So if you need to settle for one, it's the one you settle for.
It is.
Yeah. That one brings all the add-ons.
I say settle as if fine.
The add-ons being tens of millions of pounds from the Champions League. But what a personal incentive for James Forrest tomorrow. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe if Celtic win, James would then go on to the same number of trophies won as Billy McNeil.
Yeah, Callum McGregor's already on 21. He's on 21 already, so it's a fair
So they're 40 odd, you know, I think, what's James on?
He's more.
23, 24 or whatever it is. Like, they're on 40 odd trophies between them. You know, what they've done over their Celtic careers has been phenomenal. So definitely that helps, but when you're going back there, you can draw on your experiences again, and it speaks volumes for the players that they're still as driven as ever, you know, to go and win more trophies. That's something again for Rangers tomorrow. I said they've got a chance to finish with a double. You know, both teams, it's obviously the fact that it's a cup final, the fact that it's an Old Firm cup final, there is so much on the line. But whoever wins tomorrow, I think it's a double. I think when you start with any season, any kind of double would be viewed as a successful season.
The next caller is on the line from East Kilbride. Any guesses what his name is?
It's not Andy.
Of course it is. I think people are just are you really called Andy, or did you just make up a name in the hope that it gets you on the show?
No, it's Andy.
This is unbelievable. I don't know what's going on here. Anyway, take it away, Andy. Have we ever spoke before? Is this your first time?
No, it's my first time.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
Saved it for the big occasion then, Scottish Cup Eve.
So I've been listening all week, and I've been hearing loads of Celtic fans calling in. I'm a Celtic fan myself. I've hearing a lot of Celtic fans calling in saying that we're just going to steamroll them. And I think that the confidence is slightly misplaced. I feel like on paper, yes, with the form we're going into this game, yeah, we should probably win. However, it's a one-off game. Anything can happen. We have been off of form more than we have been on form this season, so we can have off games. I feel like if we show up, yes, I think we'll win. But if we don't turn up, anything can happen. And I feel like everyone's saying that it's the outcome's already predetermined that we're going to win anyway. I think's a bit silly because, as you know, we've given up, what were we, 8 points clear? If not more, I think 10 at the start of the season, like the first half of the season. And we managed to give that up. So as long as we can play well, I think we're fine. But again, it's a...
I think the losing of that advantage probably wouldn't count that much because it was so long ago and it feels like the Celtic team's in a better spot.
I think
if you're looking for just reminders, Hugh, and it doesn't influence anything, if you're looking for reminders of what can happen, the semi-final would be a good place to start.
Yeah, of course. Three bad goals lost and at significant times in the game, all through defensive error. So the reminders are there. I think I'll have to use the words of the Rangers manager to sum up Celtic's situation. He spoke about, I can't deal with fans' emotion. Well, fans who have that type of emotion on the Celtic side of things about we only have to turn up, it will be what we want it to be, etc., 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 Brendan Rodgers will pay absolutely no attention whatsoever to any of that. And there's no such thing as predetermination. Brendan Rodgers will know that only too well from his long managerial career. Celtic will attempt to do what they have done for the last few weeks. They have built on their own momentum. They have had their trophy heads on, to use Brendan Rodgers' expression. They have come alive at the important part of the season, to use another Brendan Rodgers expression. So he will pay no attention at all to the outside noise. He will pick the team that everyone expects him to pick, and he will send them out there purely and simply in the knowledge that they have a chance to finish the season on an even greater high, having become the league champions.
And again, you need to have that head on going into this game, because see the if you lose this game, by the way, even more so the fact that it's an Old Firm Cup final. I've been on the receiving end of losing this cup final, and it's not a nice summer. You know, I still think of that game in 2016. It kills me that we lost that game. You know, so for the Rangers and Celtic players, Rangers got the League Cup in the bag, Celtic have got the league in the bag. They will feel, like I think Callum McGill's talked about it there in his press, doesn't want to feel that way again. You know, and he'll have experienced that at times as well, and he doesn't want to be feeling that way too many times at this stage of the season. You've got a summer to mull it over. Mm. It's a horrible game to lose, an amazing game to win.
Particularly for Rangers, is there a symbolism attached to it in terms of breaking that winless run as well, getting the first victory against Celtic for Philippe Clement? You know, something going into next season. Like, Celtic losing would hurt Celtic fans, as you say, but it's maybe one that they could get over a bit quicker, if that makes any sense, just in terms of that hangover that it might have for Rangers. You know, can't beat Celtic, Philippe Clement still hasn't done it, then it puts extra pressure on the first meeting season.
I think that does definitely play it. Listen, it's not going to affect the game. I think after it, the result will determine all these things that we're talking about. If Celtic do lift the Scottish Cup tomorrow, it will be Philippe Clement's fourth game against this Celtic team, and he's not found a win in any of the games. Again, depending on how the game goes, there could be this talk of a gulf between the teams again. If Rangers can win it, again, I still think it will hurt Celtic. You know, they've lost a cup final. This is a team we've talked about. They're serial winners, so I don't think
just
it would
more
hurt
the
them.
Bit that you talk about for longer. I suppose makes sense.
Like
when we get to that first meeting of next season, it's all we'll hear all week. Philippe Clement still hasn't been, and this one's at Celtic Park. You know that sort of stuff.
Yep. Without doubt, the implications are greater on Philippe Clement's shoulders, because Brendan Rodgers can always say, got the money, got the title, and you will build from a position of strength. But where Philippe Clement to lose, then the fans start to drum their fingers and say, man who cannot beat Celtic cannot manage Rangers.
Andy, nobody seems to be debating the Celtic team. Does it pick itself? Does Kyogo play? Has Adamida got a shot? Is that just...
Yeah, well, I think Kyogo will start. I mean, Kyogo's statistics this season against Rangers has been phenomenal. But I just want to make one other quick point, if that's okay.
Of course you can.
I think it was yesterday or the day before, there was a Celtic fan that called in saying that he said that he didn't really care, and I know by the end of it he said it was contradicted and he did care a wee bit and that, but if we lost it wasn't that big a deal. I feel like it does matter though, doesn't it? Like, I mean, I know it's not that we've won the league, and yes, the money's great that's going to come with it, but like, you're playing against your rivals for the Scottish Cup. I mean, if you lose that, of course that's going to matter. Of course, you're not going to walk away going, oh, well, it's just a cup. Like, you want to win everything, don't you? So I thought that was a pretty crazy call, and I don't know if there's many Celtic fans with that opinion.
No, not at all.
Like, every cup matters.
I think it was part of it's a self-preservation thing. You can afford to say, let's Scottish Cup, you know, we've got the Champions League money. Everybody will be bang up for it tomorrow and wanting to win. I don't think there's any doubt. Thanks to Andy on the line. We'll get a full-time teaser up next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
There is still plenty of time for you to get your Scottish Cup final calls in. If you would rather change topic, we are absolutely here for that as well. Understand most of you do have cup final fever, but if you want to revisit any of the week's big talking points, like the Scotland squad announcement as an example, or any of the plans that your team's putting in place for next season, there's been a lot of talk about Liam Kelly this week, Kenny, because he's been linked with a move to Rangers. He has been named in the Scotland squad. Motherwell confirmed, I'm not sure it's a big secret, but Motherwell confirmed that he is leaving the club this summer. So it's at that stage of the season where teams are announcing their lists of, you know, who's gone and who's staying. And I think Liam Kelly probably the headline one from that today.
Yeah, well, I think that's it's been kind of known for a while. Like you say, he would probably be moving on from Motherwell in the summer. Again, linked with both Rangers and Celtic, I think, over the last month or so. No surprising, to be honest with you. I think it would be more likely he'd be going in there as like a number two, but a more than capable number two to push the number one. And when required, you know, he's a guy that's got hundreds of games now in our league, performed very well, and he's a national squad goalkeeper, so it makes sense. I think it would be a sensible signing.
Just again, it's not the main topic tonight by the looks of the phones, but we've not spoke to either of you since the Scotland squad got announced. What did you make of it?
I think Stevie Clark's up against it. He's lost so many players. He's got this list of walking wounded. We have to establish how many of those are going to be ready in time, what part they'll be able to play. We have to establish whether he really is going to go to Germany with four goalkeepers. But I don't mind that. I think there's too much hysteria attached to Scotland going to major tournaments. Everything's, oh, we will do this and we will do that. I like a bit of realism, and that we've got, realistically, a very, very hard job on our hands. The host nation, the first game, and we're not in the best of shape squad-wise.
That said, that also means that probably the strongest squad that could have been picked has been picked.
Yeah,
you know, that's a good way of looking at it.
The only area of concern is the right wing back. You know, and it's just been really bad luck that we've lost our two choices for that. And guys who have played a lot of football for Steve Clark over the last few years in that role. So that is there. The rest of the team's there. You know, the rest of the team, who guys that have been over the course and distance in the last kind of 4 or 5 years with Steve, are there and available. Obviously, it's really, really disappointing for Lewis Ferguson. He's missing out. But Lewis Ferguson's not been a starting player in this team. So in terms of how much he'll be missed in that starting lineup, he's not yet dislodged a John McGinn or a Ryan Christie or a Stuart Armstrong for that position just behind the striker.
Excited to see a couple of, not chances taken, but like an uncapped Ben Doak put in to see if he can light the place up. You know, rejuvenated James Forrest in.
Well, what a great story. Where both are concerned, here we have Ben Doak, who's only about half James Forrest's age. My concern, hasn't played football since December. I have no concern over Forrest, because he will do what he's done for Celtic. He'll come in and be thoroughly professional. And what a finish to the season it has been for him, because he has been dynamic for Celtic since Brendan Rodgers introduced him. And he must feel 10 feet tall. the prospect of going to Germany to be part of the Scotland setup again.
Good thing about Ben Doak's lack of game time, Ken. He's not going to be there to start games. He's going to go on. Can you Impact. Give us 10 minutes here? Can you go and rescue something yep. here? Can you? So you never know.
And this is a player that
if he makes the final squad, obviously.
Yeah, listen, he will make the final squad. This is a player that we talked about back in October that could be a wild card, you know, for the squad for the Euros. When you were looking at guys who, you know, and see this 26 man, the fact that the squad's been extended, it's just opened doors for all coaches and managers of the teams that are going to Germany to maybe just take that. Again, for us, it's a wild card. You know, a guy that's played very, very little first team football, not even played as a, he's been nowhere near really the Scotland national team. But what he has done, like you've said, he has got pace to burn. So when we're chasing a game or we're 1-0 down and we potentially need a goal, you've got someone who you can throw on that has got the one thing that all defenders hate. They're terrified of real pace. And Bendel's got that in spades. Something that we're not blessed with great pace throughout the squad.
Anyway, let's set up the full-time teaser before we go any further.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors. Approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
I think you two are going to eat this alive. I think
you heard that before, Ken.
No. Honestly, very, very doable, I would say. Can you name, let's go for the last 9 Scots to score in the Scottish, no, to lie, the last 8 Scots, sorry, to score in the Scottish Cup final for the winning side. So who are the last 8 Scots to score in the Scottish Cup final for the winning side?
Ryan Jack.
Yep.
Scott Wright.
Yes. Hugh, any from you?
Callum McGregor.
Yes, we'll leave it there because that's a blistering start. I thought you would make a quick start on that one. Thanks to Jerry and Erskine for sending it in. Can you name the last 8 Scots to score in the Scottish Cup final for the winning side? And if you, like Jerry, want to hear your question used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Ian is next up on the phone lines. Are you excited about tomorrow, Ian?
Yeah, just I've got a couple of wee points, Gordon. Hi, Kenny. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Ian.
It's a big game, biggest game in world football, and we'll have a bigger viewing. Only thing is, we're only going to have 52,000. Kenny, you've played at Hampden. You know what it's like. It's the worst stadium in the world. Good to play on, but we need to bulldoze it and make it 120,000 all-seater stadium.
I don't know if it's the worst in the world, by the way. I know you maybe it gets criticised. I don't know if it's the worst in the world.
I love playing at Hampden. I did love playing at Hampden.
Anyway, so just I want to talk about the season end there. Obviously, season ends tomorrow with a big game. But going back to the league, I think the league changed when James Forrest came back into the fore. The pendulum swung Celtic's way. Don't disagree with me here, because both teams have had horrendous injuries. But Celtic have managed to get a full team back on the park again. And it was in Rangers' hands, as Sue said halfway, three quarters way through the season, it was Rangers to throw away. Correct, Sue?
Correct.
So the pendulum has swung since James Forrest has come in. And I would start James Forrest tomorrow as well. But the rest of the team speaks for itself. A good game. I fancy Celtic to win it. But as Kenny said at the top of the show, it's the first Old Firm game for 22 years. Is that right, Kenny?
Cup final. The James Forrest factor, how can you get away from it? If you'd gone back to whatever turn of the year and said that he would be nailed on to start the Scottish Cup final, that would have been quite a surprise. But I think that is the case. Do you know what, actually, just Ian reminded me, we got a delivery for you today, Hugh Keevans.
Me?
Yeah, just when Ian said there that you kept pointing out that it was Rangers to throw away and all that sort of stuff, somebody, genuinely, this is incredible. I mean, I don't know if I could ask you to eat it because I don't know what's in it. Uh-huh. But someone actually baked or went and got you a cake made, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to show that to the camera. It says, the 17th of February 2024, Hugh Keevans, Celtic don't have players who are good enough to come back from this. So your rubbish predictions have now been immortalised in icing sugar.
I'll tell you
forevermore.
What, my grandchildren are going to go like crazy when I go back home tonight. That's fantastic.
That, you know, it does smell pretty good, but
work of art.
Does our like HR policy allow us to eat baked? Like, is that like health and safety going to clear that? Could this poison Hugh Keevans? Is that what it actually is?
I'll not be touching it. That's for sure.
I don't think it's your colour scheme. It's got wee the squares in the corner that you can't quite see. Champions 2024 in the Celtic badge. You sure? Yeah. I can't convince you, Kenny. Yeah, take
I'm
a slice happy. Up the road.
Yeah, I'm on a diet.
We are tea tonight. You like that, Hugh?
As I said to you, Noah and Ruben, you don't know what's coming your way after 8 o'clock tonight.
Feed it to his grandkids. This is going to be in the front page of the paper tomorrow when this goes wrong. But there you are. Your own terrible predictions have come back to bite you in a number of ways over the years.
Yes.
But never before in cake form, surely.
I've heard of eating humble pie, but eating cake is a different way out of it. But whoever it was, thank you very much. Yes, you know, part of the punditry game is to go in with your opinions in a forthright
manner. Putting yourself out there, Hugh, yep.
A bit of effort put into that. I think it's quite an impressive piece of, you know, you need to go to the hassle of getting that made.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Let's make sure everything's spelled correctly on it. Yeah, I think it looks pretty good. Yeah, listen, I'm happy with that. Well done. We'll hand it back to producer John.
I still have the mug that someone kindly sent into me with my own saying. I go from one failure to the next with no loss of enthusiasm, Kenny.
Quite right. Ian. Sorry for the cake interruption, but I felt it was important. Ian was talking about the James Forrest factor. You mentioned earlier you thought he really started that last game very brightly, and you could tell that that was a head-to-head, a key battle that he was going to win, basically. Yep. Interesting to see who he's up against tomorrow, because like there was something different from Philippe Clement this week. For the first time, genuinely, ever since he came in, he sat at his press conference and said, I'm not going to say who's in or out. I'm not going to mention the injuries. I've done it all season and I won't do it. Yeah. To bore people who don't know the way these things work, you'll know that's Philippe Clement sitting speaking to the broadcast media by and large. He will then stop that press conference. He'll then go and speak to the written press, the daily newspapers, at which point he appears to have told them an anecdote about Yilmaz being injured, coming in to see him with tears in his eyes because he's got this pain again. So I don't know if he'll play tomorrow, basically. And if it's not him, who is the man tasked with stopping James Forrest?
If Yilmaz is fit, he plays, because he has been, when he's played, and he's even coming back from his injury, he's probably since just before Christmas, he's been performing really, really well. He's made that left-back slot his own. If he's not fit, Dujon Sterling plays left-back. It's pretty straightforward for Rangers. I do believe Dujon Sterling will play no matter what position he'll play in. I'm not too sure, but if Yilmaz is fit, I believe he'll play.
If he doesn't make it, does Sterling need to go there? Is that there's no way we get this? Is Barisic even injured? I can't remember
yes,
if he is.
Oh,
he is. Is he?
So yeah. I think it's pretty obvious that
which
Sterling
would be a blow, because Rangers fans, as I said earlier, want Sterling playing everywhere.
Yeah, they want him everywhere. They want 11 Sterlings out there tomorrow.
Having spent a cynical lifetime in broadcasting and newspapers, I listened and looked at Philippe Clement, and I thought, this man is, yes, quite rightly not going to show his hand and tell you how bad it is, but I got the distinct impression from him that there will be players out on that field tomorrow at Hampden who may not necessarily be 100% fit.
He did say they might need to take chances on people. Who does that include then? The one like Leon Balogun, Rangers really need him back, don't they? With no disrespect to Ben Davies and Leon King, but they've not played a lot between them, so they need at least another body in there. Yeah.
I think the ones that definitely refer to Leon Balogun, he's obviously not been seen since he went off, I think it was at half time a game a few weeks back. Yilmaz definitely apply to him, but it's a cup final, you know, and it's the last game of the season. If you need to come off, you need to come off. You've got the summer to kind of recover. So I think those two in particular, I don't really see where else. Seema is another one. What role will he play? Will he start? Will he come on? I think he's maybe more... Be careful, bless you.
Thank you.
I think he's more better kept in reserve to come off the bench and potentially impact the game
really?
At the end. Yeah.
Seema?
Yeah.
So starting wide would be...
Yeah, well, again, that's for me, there's two areas. It's whether Lundstrom plays instead of Raskin, and for me, Silver McCausland.
Yeah.
That's me assuming that Yilmaz is fit, because if Yilmaz is not fit and Sterling was to go back to left back, then it could be McCausland and Silver, either side of Dessers.
Mm. So Ian, Celtic team picks itself, you reckon? No debates there, really.
It's I like to Kenny Anshu's points there. The James Forrest has been a factor since. Correct me here, Kenny. I think since the Hearts game, we could beat 2-0, and he came back into the four, and he's. I think he's had a couple of assists and he scored a couple of goals, but quite a lot of people are speaking highly of him. If I remember right, was it Gordon? Was it Neil Lennon that gave him his debut?
Yeah,
it was,
he scored the goal against Motherwell. And if you look at the boy, I think he's only 32.
Yep.
So was he 16 when he made his debut, Kenny?
I'm not sure what age he was at the debut, but he's definitely 32 now.
Yep.
I mean, you played with him, Kenny, didn't you?
No, I missed him.
Did you miss him?
Yeah, I missed him, yeah.
Did you miss James? Yeah. Did you not play with him in Scotland?
No, also just missed him. He would have came into the four when I was old and retired.
As I say, it's not going to be an easy game tomorrow for any of the two. But Celtic has got the upper hand, but it's a Celtic Rangers game. I just want to know what the audience is going to be. It's going to be billions, isn't it?
Well, I don't know about that.
I hope so. I don't think so. It won't, unfortunately, we can measure these things. And
yeah, I mean, I said to Kenny earlier on tonight, it's all very well talking about this night before. You just never know what happens in the cold light of day. But Brendan Rodgers, one defeat in 17 matches against Rangers. All the indicators point towards Celtic. The resurgence of James Forrest, McGregor, O'Reilly, Hatate. Middle to front, Celtic, top class, Daizen Maeda, who has a negative effect on James Tavernier, etc., etc. Now, we have to wait until 3 o'clock tomorrow to see if that's how it works out, or does something extraordinary happen?
Well, it could definitely happen. Cup finals are such tight affairs normally, so yes, Celtic will be going into his favourites, big favourites, but it's up to Philippe Clement. I mean, he's talked a lot about maybe having to start better, and he's looked at the game and he has to maybe make like changes to maybe how Rangers go about their business. I'm really, really intrigued to see how that's going to look, because for Rangers, I think for Celtic, if Celtic turn up and their players play, I think Rangers would need a lot of luck to win the game. They'll probably still need a bit of luck. But if they can find a way to maybe play a bit different, whether that be on the ball, off the ball, I think they need to do a bit of both. But for me, if Rangers are to win, it's probably going to need to be win ugly. I think you need to find a way to win ugly. You're going to have to disrupt the game, spoil the game. And that's where, again, from a Rangers perspective, going into these Celtic games, I don't think it's a good place to be starting to always be talking about having to stop your opponents. I don't hear anything for the Celtic side saying you need to stop this guy or you need to stop that guy, or I think it's more about trying to stop the O'Reillys or the McGregors and the Hatates or the Kyogos, and that's where I think that's just where this game's at this moment in time. Rangers will need to find a way to win. What that's going to look like, I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what it'll look like tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Thank you to Ian on the line. Can you name the last 8 Scots to score in the Scottish Cup final for a winning team? You've got Ryan Jack and Scott Wright, who were the last two. Callum McGregor, I'll take one more guess each.
Ryan Christie.
Yes, Kenny.
Sean Rooney.
Yes, 3 to get. We'll get them next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A quick show, as you would expect, on the eve of the Scottish Cup final. Jerry and Erskine is asking you on that theme, if you could name the last 8 Scots to score in the Scottish Cup final for the winning team. So the last time it happened, you had a double, Ryan Jack and Scott Wright, both for Rangers against Hearts. Sean Rooney was the match winner, St Johnstone against Hibs. Ryan Christie got one for Celtic. So did Callum McGregor against Motherwell. Forget about that one. Anything else?
Do you want me to say it?
I'm done.
Right. David Gray.
Nope, need to give me his full title on the
third. No. Let's draw the line there.
David Gray, yep. 2 to get.
Lee Griffiths.
Yes, we'll get the remaining one hopefully before the end of the show. Another reminder, if you want to hear your question used on the show, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. Thanks to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out on that one. Let's hear a bit more from the two captains who have been on media duties in recent times. James Tavernier, quite obviously believing his side must be better than they have been all season if they're to beat Celtic in that game tomorrow.
Yeah, we've obviously fell short a few times in games. You know, I think we obviously need that extra 10-15% management during the games. And, you know, the key thing is taking our moments. I think that's the key lesson in these games. It's a trophy that we can obviously get our hands on. Last game of the season, so it's one last push. And, yeah, it's obviously really important because, you know, you come to Rangers to win trophies and we've got to obviously push it over the line and, you know, win the trophy.
And as you would expect, Callum McGregor is hoping to take confidence from their head-to-head record this season.
Of course, you take a sort of small degree of comfort in that, but again, we know what cup finals are like. We know what these derby games are like. If you don't turn up on the day, then you make yourself really difficult to get a result. So we understand what we have to give to the game. It's a great occasion. It's a great showpiece for Scottish football, and like you said, brilliant to be involved in as a player. This is what you want to do. This is why you play football. And if this doesn't get you excited, then you're probably in the wrong spot.
We were debating, you know, who'll play for which team, and we spoke earlier about Philippe Clement choosing. This is the first time to not reveal who's injured and who's not. Any real reason for that? Is it just one last throw of the dice to do something different? You know, do you read anything into the fact that he's been so open with it all season, decided not to this time?
Listen, maybe he just... It's actually still up for debate. Is Yilmaz going to be fit? Is Balogun going to be fit? Is Seema ready to start? Because like you say, that's been something that has been really open about over the course of the season. He's, Kamar Roof's not ready to play 90 minutes, or Yilmaz is not ready to... So again, I'm sure that would apply to Seema as well. So listen, I don't think you need to be that open and give... I think if he says Yilmaz is fit, I think it's pretty clear he's going to start. Is it going to make any difference? You get the teams an hour and 15 minutes before the game. So they're going to, Celtic are going to know the team, Rangers are going to know Celtic's team. And then all your preparation work's probably already done. So I don't think it's going to make too much difference. So I don't read anything into it. He's just maybe not wanting to talk to the media as much as what he has done over the course of his time at Rangers.
Again, in terms of indicators, there'd be a major surprise if Brendan Rodgers didn't pick the team that everyone suspects is Celtic's best 11, which clearly includes James Forrest. But
so Kyogo, undeniably, man for the right occasion. Yeah, doesn't matter what Adamida did against Kilmarnock.
Kyogo's twice the player Adamida is.
Oh, wow.
Put that on a cake next.
Yeah, well, he is. Kyogo is twice the player Adamida is, and that's that. With regard to Rangers, though, I think Philippe Clement was being honest. Without naming names, he was telling you in so many words that he has nowhere near his best 11 available to him, and that decisions would have to be taken today on some players. The day before a cup final is not the time when you're working out who's able to get through the 90 minutes or not. So, again, all the indicators point towards Celtic, and they are the favourites. We'll see what happens in the cold light of day.
I mean, Kenny, we do this all the time. There's a... The game doesn't suffer as a result of this because they always become interesting in their own way, but they do play so often that they're not a great deal of mystery. We kind of know the tactical talking points. What can Rangers do to stop Callum McGregor dictating the game? What can James Tavernier do to cope with Daizen Maeda better? You know, are those the kind of obvious ones? How can Rangers hurt Celtic the other way, rather than just it all being about stopping?
Yeah, stopping Celtic. Well, what they need to do is, when they've got their foot on the ball, they need to make better use of it. You know, I think when Celtic are putting Rangers on the back foot constantly and probing and keeping the ball and dominating the possession, sometimes when you get a hold of the ball, it's like it's a relief. And Rangers too often, for me, just kicked it away, meaningless, kicked out the park, Celtic regained it, and then they came back. It was like waves of attack. But listen, the second half, obviously, went down to 10 men. It was always going to take that type. But even in the first half, I had a similar type pattern, you know. And what they also need to do is put Celtic on the back foot and take their chances. Silva had two wonderful chances in that game at 0-0. The header and a left foot chance. He's got to score the header. That then is you taking your moment. That's you making, maybe changing the momentum of the game and asking these Celtic players and the Celtic team, the way they have done it, 2-0 down, to actually respond. Can they respond and go back and come back for a goal down deficit? Can Rangers get even further ahead? At this moment, this season, Rangers have not asked that question to Celtic. How that again, how that looks from the start like I said, they have to defend better. So as much as stopping Celtic, like defending better, I don't just say that just to stop Celtic. They just need to defend better as a whole, as a team. Distances need to be better. They need to be working together as a unit rather as individuals. If they do that, then I think they can cope better with the likes of rotations they have on the side between O'Reilly's and Johnson's and Taylor's and Maeda's, McGregor's and Hatate's. Like their movement is really, really good, Celtic, in that first. And what it's done, again, over the course of the four games against Rangers is they pulled them apart. And they have stretched Rangers, and that's where the Matt O'Reilly gets the ball inside the box and smash it in the bottom corner past Jack Butland. But they need to defend better. Mm. They need to be more disciplined than that. And when they get it, they have got good players. But like I said, it's hard when you're constantly getting asked to defend and you're constantly getting asked to shift over and cover these spaces. When you get it, you need to have a bit of calmness and make the most of it.
Hugh, two of the most used words on this show all season will have been serial dessers. Yeah. Because for obvious reasons, injury. He plays every single week, so he's always there, front and centre. He has to be analysed. He's never away.
Yep.
He either scores, and he's done over 20 times, or he misses chances that people can't believe. So he cannot stay out of the conversation. He had a goal chopped off against Celtic. He then got his goal, but it didn't count for much. Who knows what the latest chapter will be for him tomorrow?
Well, Kenny was going on about Rangers' defence. Celtic's defence gave Dessers the easiest goal of his career in the game at Celtic Park. So I wouldn't rule out a Dessers goal tomorrow. Celtic have to defend better. I think back to last Saturday, St Mirren scored twice at Celtic Park. Rangers got that easy goal at Celtic Park. Aberdeen in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup three times, all as a result of suspect defending. So I don't look at Dessers in advance and think, oh, what a miserable day you're going to have. It's up to the Celtic defence to make sure he has a miserable day, but can they?
Okay, final act for you two tonight is to finish this teaser. Thanks to Jerry and Erskine for sending it. Who are the last eight Scots to score in the Scottish Cup final for the winning side? You've only got one. You've got Ryan Jack and Scott Wright, Sean Rooney, Lee Griffith, Ryan Christie, Callum McGregor and David Gray. Eddie Grady has got the one on Twitter that you're waiting for. It was 2017.
James Forrest, no?
No.
Stuart Armstrong?
Yes, Stuart Armstrong. What a day we have in store tomorrow. The Scottish Cup final, one of the best days in the Scottish football calendar. Some of us will be live from Hampden. Hugh Keevans and Andrew McLean and others will be keeping an eye on things back here as well. It is a big team looking after a big game, so make sure you join us from 2 o'clock tomorrow and stay right there. The GBX is up next.